Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Each and every day here on the Jeff Calkins Show, we welcome Chris Harrington to the program. Let's fire it up. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is, of course, Green River by Creedence Clearwater Revival. Pretty sure that song is not set in Wisconsin, but we will still use it in honor of the victory by the Green Bay Packers last night.
I'll tell you what, you picked a pretty good year to maybe try to reignite your fandom, because that looks like a really good football team.
I think maybe you have the cause and the effect mixed up.
Yep.
Maybe
that's
it is a good year because of me. Maybe
exactly.
I am the catalyst. I think that's what I'm going with.
You could see, you know, the Midwest, or the whatever we would call, like, the upper plains could sense, like, the winds are changed. Harrington's here.
Right.
The Packers are going to be something to look out for. A couple other things I wanted to discuss with you. We were talking about yesterday the newcomers that ESPN had ranked. Who do you think remade their team this offseason in a way that changes how you think about them for the better?
You know, off the top of my head, the teams that I think got the best notices for their offseason, like in addition to Orlando, who we talked about, but I don't know if that would be my answer. You know, Denver and Atlanta jump out. Denver's a team that, you know, has already won a title with this core and was, you know, as we talked about yesterday, got to game 7 against the Thunder. And I think everyone thinks they made themselves a little bit better, not only with the Michael Porter, Cam Johnson switch, but bringing in Jonas Valanciunas, bringing back Bruce Brown, who, like, had a lot of success in that system and playing with Jokic. I think people think that that team has really shored itself up. I think the Hawks are a team that I don't know whether they can get out of the East, but they put themselves in the conversation in a way that they just were not in that conversation before. And I think if you're going to have a winning team built around Trae Young, I think they've done what you need to do in terms of size and defense all around him, adding Kristaps Porzingis, adding Nickeil Alexander-Walker coming off the bench. So I like what those two teams have done in terms of raising their ceiling. I mean, the obvious big addition is Kevin Durant in Houston, but I'm just not as sure. I mean, they were already second in the West. You know, they gave up, you know, good defender Dylan Brooks. I just don't know about the makeup of that team. I don't know how much I believe in Durant making it through an 82-game regular season and then, you know, 3 or 4 rounds of playoffs at this stage of his career.
Well, I mean, to me, like, that's kind of the other thing. It's like, okay, I do understand they believed internally their lack of scoring, shot making cost them a chance to advance in the playoffs.
Right.
Like, I get that. I'm just not 100% convinced in 2025 Kevin Durant fixes that.
Yeah, I mean, he has to be on the floor and, like, you know.
Right, he can fix it in a game.
Final.
Like, if you're telling me, like,
right,
it comes down to a game, sure, but, like, does that fix it over the course of the season? That I haven't seen a lot of evidence to suggest that.
Is he going to be on the floor in peak form playing 30 minutes a night in game 6 of our conference finals after an 82-game regular season? I know he's not playing 82, but still an 82-game regular season, you make that move to get at least to a conference finals, right? You're not adding Kevin Durant to get out of the first round. You're adding that to at least get to a conference finals. And I just don't know if I believe in his durability to that point to be that guy for them, you know, at that moment. And I really have, and I may end up having Houston second in the West. I haven't done it yet, but I have questions about the structure of the team. And we talked about this yesterday in the East in terms of guard play and, like, the doubts about Orlando's guard play. I got serious issues with the Houston guard play.
Yes, I totally agree.
Fred VanVleet is 5'10". He's already on the downward side, and he's like 35 years old. Reed Sheppard has not proven he can play in the NBA. And I love Amen Thompson to death, but he's like, some people think he's a power forward, not a guard, you know? And like, that's basically it.
It is this weird, I was kind of thinking about this the other day, because it's like, what is the cause and the effect? Do we undervalue point guard play in the league?
You know, so it's a weird thing, because I think it's been internalized that it's hard to win with a small guard as your best player. Like, the exceptions to that are Steph Curry, who is just, you know, one of one as a shooter, basically. And then, like, you go back to, you know, Isaiah Thomas, Chauncey Billups on a one-off, that kind of thing. So I think there's reason to want to worry about small guards. But I think primary ball handling is the way I would put it. And your primary ball handler doesn't always have to be a guard, like if you have Nikola Jokic or whatever.
Sure.
But with most teams, it is. And I think your primary ball handling has to be at a certain level to feel like you can break through, unless you just have the perfect recipe like that Boston team did, you know, where everyone's the elite defender who can three-point shots. Like that, they sort of broke the formula with that. But not everyone can achieve that.
Well, because the reason like I was thinking about it is because, like, with Houston, was it lack of shot making or is it the lack of, like, offensive creation? There wasn't an engine that could get it going. Like, when you're missing a bunch of really tough shots, it's not like I'm sitting there going, like, oh, man, there's a lot of guys that would be hitting those.
No, you could look at it either way. I mean, shot making is great, but sometimes, you know, you don't have to have elite shot makers to make shots if you're creating good enough shots. Right.
Yeah.
And that was kind of part of the problem with them. I remember games in the regular season where he got to the fourth quarter and it got tight and you're like, and like literally it was just like Fred VanVleet's going to dribble up the floor and take a contested jumper or whatever. It's, you were reliant on high degree of difficulty shots. Now, some players are better at making those than others. So maybe the idea is Kevin Durant is that, like, I mean, he's a seven footer with endless arms and one of the smoothest shooters ever. And so hard shots for him are not hard, you know? And so maybe that's the idea, that you don't have to create a great shot, because if it's Kevin Durant, like, any shot's a great shot for him. But I don't know if they solved, I think they got one of the world's best ever, quote unquote, tough shot makers. But I don't know if they have solved their problem of creating good shots.
Well, the other thing that kind of stands out when you look at the off seasons, it feels like, and probably this is because of the teams that are perceived to be the top of each conference, it felt like the teams in the West were trying to figure out, okay, the idea of just get three stars, pay them a bunch of money, and then fill in the rest, like, that's not going to work. Look at the Thunder. They got all this depth. Like, we're gonna have to, like, reimagine and retool. It felt like most of the teams in the West were doing that, when in the East, it's like you see Tatum go down. No, it just felt like everyone's like, all right, cash in the chips. Like, I'm kind of interested to see how that dynamic plays out this year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the conference imbalance has a lot to do with sort of the way teams built themselves and what they think they can achieve. And once you get to a finals, like, the conferences don't matter anymore, right?
And
so can the team getting out of the East handle the Oklahoma City Thunder or some other team getting out of the West? But, you know, to me, like, making a conference finals is an achievement. Like, you know, that's something the Grizzlies have done once in 25 years.
I'll take winning a game in it. I don't even care if it's a five-game sweep.
right. And so, you know, I think there's value in – I've always felt there's value in being a competitive playoff team. And so, you know, there are different ways to do that. It's a narrower path. You're talking about winning a title. We're talking about being a competitive playoff team. There are different ways to achieve that.
If I tell you the Grizzlies are good, what questions do you think they answered this year?
I think that Edie made it back from injury and got back to either close to what he was or even took a step forward that he would normally take without the injury. I think Edie getting back to being, because I just don't think they can replace that anywhere else.
Yeah,
I think that would be a part of it. And, you know, I want to say that means Jaws had, like, a mostly healthy season, but, like, if you're talking about regular season, I think they're pretty set up that, like, they could, you know, they could do okay with him missing games with Jerome and with Pippen and the rest. I guess I think someone on the wing has taken a significant step forward, and or in Cedric Howard's case, has arrived. And that could be Coward, that could be Jalen Wells, that could be a return of Vince Williams, that could be a bounce back of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to what he used to be. I think one or probably two of those four things has to happen. Like two of those four players have to either be better than they were last season, or in Coward's case, arrive as something better than him, but any of those guys were last season.
Well, I was thinking about it in these terms. Like, let's say we get to January 1 and Edie looks fine. I'm not saying like I'm talking physically looks fine. How would that team in your mind compare to the 21-22 team in terms of the actual rotations of guys that are playing?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, that team, I think that 21-22 team might have had the best bench in franchise history. At least the best bench since the Hubie years, right? But I think maybe the best in franchise history. And that fit in with that fast-paced style. I think they need that this season. If they're going to play the style Isola wants to play, which is going to rely partly on depth, they need to have that quality of bench and depth. And I think the potential is there to do that this year. I'm worried about the front court portion of that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I mean, Vince Williams is a guy I really believe in, probably more than anyone else. I just don't know how much he's going to play.
I'm your vice president.
Right. And so it's sort of that kind of thing.
My biggest concerns on Vince are I'm not convinced the injury stuff's unlucky. I think he might just be injury prone.
Well, I have two things now. One is about the ability to stay healthy, and the other is opportunity. Now
for sure.
He's going to be playing for a coach who didn't see him at his best, you know? And well, so there's that. I think I'm wary of like predicting or overstating it, but I do think the potential is there for the Grizzlies to really surprise people, you know, and to get north of 50 wins. I think that potential is there. I'm not predicting that necessarily. I don't want to set that as an expectation. But the range of possible, I think, given the depth and given, you know, what we've seen as a regular season team with John Morant and Jared Jackson, at least, I don't discount that possibility.
I know I'm dumb, but it really, like, I would feel really, really good if they just had Edie healthy to start the season. Like, I would actually think, like, I'm not saying, okay, this team's competing with Oklahoma City, but I would think that if they had Edie ready to go, I don't think there's any reason they can't be in like that next tier, which I think there's a huge gap between them.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest concern is the connection between the Edie availability and the style of play Isola wants to play.
Yeah.
And that is something that's probably the thing that worries me most about the Grizzlies, is his style seems so dependent on that, and he's not going to have that. And so can he pivot to something that works? Can he pivot back to what he wants to do with Edie? And that sort of disruption, I think you're talking about an unproven player for the most part and an unproven head coach, and a lot depending on both of them individually and especially their relation to each other. To me, that's the uncertainty that would give me the most concern. I mean, it's the job availability isn't obvious. That's a given. That's internalized. But to the point I was making before, like I think in the regular season, like with Jerome and Pippen, they can kind of, you know, there's a possibility there to skate through some of that more so than last season maybe. And the Isola style Edie stuff to me gives me more pause.
With Isola, and again, the sample size is really small, and as you point out, like unproven at this level. I did get the vibes of he's more of a pragmatist than Taylor was. And I say this as like someone I feel like I was a Taylor guy, but I did feel like Taylor sometimes would stubbornly like this is what we're doing, this is how we're gonna do it, and he'd maybe stick with it too long. I do feel like Isola is a little bit more pragmatic.
Well, that's what he said. I mean,
sure.
That is like legitimately what he said about himself, but it hasn't entirely been tested. He just given the system he got thrown into. So he's basically said, I believe, he articulated it very well. Like, this is what I believe in basketball-wise, but I'm willing to go away from what I believe if it's not working. And so, you know, that might get tested. Maybe it won't. Maybe he'll do what he wants to do and it works, and that's just it. But, you know, I mean, tests will come this season for him, certainly.
So Kevin Pelton has also written about every team's biggest hole. Would you agree with Kevin, and I'm not sure if this is Kevin or Kevin's computer, because he oftentimes right. makes the distinction. Would you agree that their biggest roster hole is wing size?
Well, I think that's one of them. And I made that point when they signed Omax Prosper to the two-way.
Yeah.
That they didn't really have guys like that. They did not have size on the wing, and that was a deficit of the roster. So I certainly agree that is a deficit of the roster. I think in the near term, to me, the sitter situation and the ED situation is more prominent. But if you're looking holistically over the course of a season, you're assuming an ED return. But yeah, I think that's right. Because I think Omax Prosper adds a player of that type. He's on a two-way. He can't score. So that's not the guy who fills that need, like, in a significant way. Whereas Edie, once he gets back, can fill that need in a significant way. And so, yeah, I think they're going to find themselves either playing small, which means, you know, Jalen Wells, who they envision as a two, I think he's still going to be a three. I think, you know, Cedric Howard, who is 6'5", 6'6", is not really that big. I mean, playing a lot of three. They'll be playing small across the perimeter a lot. And then sometimes they'll play really big and want to play Santi Aldama at the three. But they don't have a classic small forward on the roster other than Gigi Jackson on the main roster. He's the only truly classic small forward they really have. And I'm not sure he is more of a four.
Well, I was going to ask, it feels like if his number one concern is minutes, doesn't it feel like that's the spot? At least early?
What, for Gigi?
Yeah, Gigi, like, to be a four. Like, to me, it's like that seems to be where there's the, like, there's a big crowd elsewhere. It's like there's kind of a need for some size. Like, because the other thing is, like, when you're talking about small, I also, when you're narrowing out, it's like without Edie, it's also a very slight team.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you're going to see lineups. You'll look up and see a Ja Morant, Scottie Pippen, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah.
You know, Gigi Jackson, Jaren Jackson lineup. Like, something like that's going to happen at some point.
Obviously, they haven't had training camp yet, and so there is kind of a who knows. But how do you think Cedric Coward's going to be deployed early?
Well, I think it's going to be a matter of what they feel he's capable of. I think they would love it if he were just really good right out of the gate.
Sure.
And pushed his way into, like, you know, it's not
a starting role. Make himself undeniable.
Yeah, a sixth, seventh man kind of role. But they are deep enough that he doesn't have to be in the rotation if they're healthy at all. I think he's going to get minutes unless he just seems incapable, because I think they may play 11 deep to start the season like they did last year. And I think if that's the case, I'd be surprised if he's not at least a 10th, 11th guy. They're not at least giving him some minutes to bring him along. But whether it's more than that is going to be a matter of what he can handle. And I just, to me, he is the wildest of wild cards, because we just don't, he hasn't played in so long and hasn't played against high-level competition. And normally you would think, well, that's a guy who's going to be a long-term project. It's not going to happen anytime soon. But you look at the physical ability, you look at what he's produced when he steps on a basketball floor, and, like, maybe not.
Does this team have enough shooting?
You know, it's an interesting thing. That's one thing where I'm sort of interested in the Isolo part of it, because I think he is less fixated on the idea of the quote unquote shooter.
Yeah.
Than Taylor Jenkins was. And that's another thing you can read into the dual exits of both Bane and Luke Kennard.
Yeah.
I mean, Bane is a different level of player than Kennard, but I think with Jenkins, there was a sense that we got to get shooters on the team. And I think Isolo doesn't think about players as shooters in the same way. I think they're more open to more of the athletic types and less the, like, shooting specialist type. And so we'll see, like, what he's able to generate, you know, going to the rim and transition, you know, off the pick and roll. And I don't know, it depends on sort of how they play, but I want to say the answer is yes, because I don't like the NBA where, like, players are judged by their 3-point shooting percentage alone.
Yes.
Like, you know, as an adherent of the Church of Kyle Anderson, I reject that.
To the point that we're rewriting whether or not half-court heaves count so that guys will at least maybe,
right, yeah,
like, throw a shot up.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm someone who, like, you know, stylistically, I prefer Kyle Anderson to Luke Kennard, right? So, like, give me those kind of guys and find a way to win with those kind of guys instead of, like, shooters who don't do much else. And so my hope is that, you know, my hope is that they do. But, like, I mean, you know, Scottie Pippen was a 40% 3-point shooter last year. Jalen Wells was in the high 30s until he tailed off late. You know, Jaren's a plus shooter for a big.
Yeah.
Santi's a plus shooter for a big. Morant shooting is always an issue, but Ty Jerome can shoot. Kentavious Caldwell Pope before last season in Orlando has been a good 3-point shooter. And Cedric Howard, man, I don't know. When he was playing against, like, you know, Little Sisters of the Poor in the Pacific Northwest, he's making everything he took. And so we'll see.
Chris, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right.
That is Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian. When we come back, Jeff returns to the show. We're going to do Jeff's bets. We'll take a look at the college football slate coming up next, right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, and it's Jeff Calkins back on the Jeff Calkins Show. I come back because I want to know what's happening with my money. And at the beginning of every football season, I give Jeffrey a 10 crisp $100 bills. I tell him to go forth and invest. And I did it with real confidence this year because I knew this summer was going to be a summer of introspection for Jeffrey. And sure enough, he has come out of the chute flying. I'm now up substantially. Let's do this.
Jeff, we are through week two. We are 18-9 on the season. Your $1,000 has officially become $1,845.
Oh, that is so great. I'm not going to spend it yet, only because I want to keep investing it. You know, that's why. You have a losing week. Week zero, it was tied.
Yeah, we went 1-1, but we lost the juice.
Right. And then a rousing week one. And then last week was what, 6-5 or something
six
like that?
6-5.
6-5. What led you astray? What were you spot on about? Well, you were wrong about South Florida, as I recall.
So we were very, very wrong about South Florida. More on them in a bit. I thought a team that would get 4 turnovers against one of the worst teams I've ever seen could cover 36.5, but Texas's offense said, absolutely not, we're not going to do that. That was a loss. I thought Duke would at least be able to throw it to their own team. They were unable to do that. And then
that game actually was closer than the final score indicated. You know, you weren't wrong on the merits of that game.
They moved the ball, but I do also think, like, I think Illinois laid a lot of traps for Duke, and Duke just went right into them. UTSA, they could not stop the vertical passing game. USF, I was dead wrong. Michigan's defense actually gave me what I was hoping for out of them. I thought that they could at least get it into the 20s, and they could not do that.
They certainly could not. They were inept. Or stifled, or whatever. What were you particularly proud of, Jeffrey, last week?
I think I nailed Mississippi State over Arizona State. That obviously got pretty sweaty. Oregon, there was not a number I was unwilling to lay against Oklahoma State. And then I kind of thought Kalen DeBoer would try to keep people happy, and they 100% did that. And then Stanford sucks.
All right, so we got another slate this week. Who are we going with, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we're
going
to start tonight. We've got Houston and Colorado. Colorado bypassing not only their starter and their backup quarterback, going with their third-team quarterback. Houston at home, laying 4 points. I'm going to lay the 4 with Houston. I don't think that's a good spot for your first start.
Houston -4 over Colorado. Next.
Jeff, we haven't done this in a pretty long while. I think the Tigers are undervalued here.
Wow.
I get it that Troy quote unquote kept it close with Clemson. That was just a weird game. We saw this game last year. I understand the rosters are not exactly the same. These two teams were nowhere near the type of athletes. I'm going to lay the 3.5 with Memphis. I think this is a wild overreaction to what people saw on a scoreboard with Troy,
rather than watching the game itself, which
correct.
Was pretty well, certainly in the second half, dominated by Clemson, as you would expect. When you say we haven't done this in a while, you haven't bet Memphis in a while?
I've not bet Memphis in a while.
Well, there we go. All right. Memphis -3.5 over Troy. Next.
Jeff, speaking of that Clemson team, yeah, they were hungover. Yeah, they looked bad. Yeah, Georgia Tech's at home. Yes, Brent Key's done a great job as an underdog against a ranked team. I just think the line's way too low. Clemson -3. If you're going to give it to me, I'm going to take it. I'll take Clemson -3.
Clemson -3 over Georgia Tech. Next.
Jeff, I had mentioned to you that last week, or I had mentioned to you earlier in the week that I was considering making this just a one-play card.
That is correct. You were considering it, yes.
That one play was going to be Georgia -3.5 against Tennessee. We've added to the card, but that is I have seen this game a lot. I understand Tennessee has looked better than expected given the quarterback switch, but Georgia's defense is still going to present problems. And Joey Aguilar led the nation the last 2 years in turnover-worthy plays with 51. He has not turned it over yet. That changes on Saturday. I'll take the dogs. I'll lay the 3.5.
Georgia -3.5 over the University of Tennessee. Is the smart money? Is there any movement on the slide? Is there any?
It's going back up. It's back. It's moving back up.
Next.
Jeff, the team that really stood out to me in 2023 was a team called the Arizona Wildcats.
Yeah.
And they were a team that the public loved, and they bet them, and they won, and they cashed. I continuously would bet against them, thinking that the numbers don't make sense. This is not right. Last year, Indiana. Maybe this year it's USF, but I'm going to pay to see Cinderella die. Give me Miami. I'll lay the 17.5 body blow game.
Is this three times
bet on USF week one. I bet against them last week and could not have been more wrong. The line is just as big this week. I just think Miami is a different animal here.
What does USF have to do for just their own, playoff future?
I mean, I think as long as you don't get, housed by 50, but, I mean, if they go 11-1 and have one law, if they're 11-1, then they win.
Even if it's by 19, even if they
yeah.
don't cover, I think it's okay.
I think even if they get smoked, it's okay, because I think people will realize, hey, man, that was their third straight game against a ranked opponent. They were running on fumes. I think people could look past that.
He doesn't believe in the Cinderella, ladies and gentlemen. Miami -17.5 over USF. Next.
Jeff, if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything.
Right.
I stand for Diego Pavia. I do not stand for Lenora Sellers. I got Vanderbilt +3. Give me the doors.
Why are you, why have you never been, and you never have been on the Sellers?
He can't throw, Jeff.
No, that's a problem.
He misses so many throws by 15 yards.
Sandy +3.
Also, we have a common opponent. I get it. It's not always the transitive property of college football. But we have a common opponent in Virginia Tech. One of those games was in Atlanta. The other games was in Blacksburg with a fired-up crowd. And Vanderbilt's got some explosion to them this year. They got some speed on the outside. Their offense is better than it was last year. These two teams did play in Nashville last year, and South Carolina thumped them 28-7. But that was late in the year, right after Vanderbilt had just beaten Auburn to get bowl eligibility. Diego was limping around. He's healthy right now. They're the better team.
Vandy +3 over South Carolina.
Jeff, we got this line stinks, so we're going to take it. Minnesota going two time zones away to take on Cal. The Bears are a 2.5-point home dog. Give me the Bears.
Bears plus 2.5 over Chris Harrington's Golden Gophers. Why?
I love the quarterback at Cal. And then also, this is just the teams that have traveled from east to west in the Big Ten, they've really, really struggled.
Cal plus 2.5 over Minnesota.
Jeff, I know when you were growing up, there was one game that you always had circled on your calendar every year. It was a staple of the ACC. It was Boston College and Stanford.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
We just said a lot of teams going east to west really struggle. The exception is going to be Stanford. It does not matter. I like BC's quarterback. I think they're frisky. I'll lay the 13.5. Stanford is that bad.
Yeah, you've been saying that since the beginning. Stanford's horrific. BC minus 13.5 over Stanford. Next.
That, Jeff, that thus concludes our card.
All right, well, let's discuss other, before I review the card, let's discuss other notable games. What are we missing here?
So we did not touch LSU Florida. Had it been, had it still been in like the 9.5 range, I think I was going to take the points with Florida. The fact that now it's at a touchdown, like, I stayed away because I'm still, maybe Florida's just
LSU by a touchdown.
Correct. Did not touch Ole Miss Arkansas. That is because of the uncertainty with Austin Simmons. No, I kind of think he's going to play, and I was tempted, but I have just enough doubt in my mind that we talked about having discipline this year.
How about the Duke Tulane Mensa return game?
To me, everything's saying you should take Duke, but I didn't love what I saw from Duke in terms of I thought they were easily fooled. And I don't love his receivers. And also, I feel like John Sumrall is going to know exactly how to defend Mensa, but I didn't trust Tulane enough to take him either. Because that is one of those spots where I thought about, hey, man, everyone's going to overreact to Duke last week, but I didn't see anything I could really trust.
How about Notre Dame?
So I started the week thinking I was going to take Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Texas A&M under Mike Elko is 3-12 against the spread.
Eesh.
Meanwhile, Marcus Freeman as a favorite, 31-13. However, I don't know
What's
if they're that good. It's 6.5 right now. It's just the classic. I just left it off. I don't trust Notre Dame because that's also there's kind of the NFL like you have to have it game. Notre Dame kind of has to have it.
It definitely has to have it. I mean, I suppose conceivably you can imagine Notre Dame losing their second and still getting in the playoff, but
they'd have to win 10 straight games.
Yeah. All right, here we go, folks. Houston minus 4 over Colorado. Memphis minus 3.5 over Troy. We've got Georgia minus 3.5 over Tennessee.
Correct.
Miami minus 17.5 over USF.
Yep.
Vandy plus 3 over South Carolina.
Yep.
Cal plus 2.5 over Minnesota. BC minus 13.5 over Stanford.
And Clemson, did you mention Clemson minus 3.
Clemson minus 3 over Georgia Tech. That is the card for this week. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment is Jeff Calkins here, 92.9 FM News. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins show. I'm sure by now you've heard that the suspect has been apprehended. Tyler Robinson, we'll learn more about him, I'm sure, as time goes on. I did have some other things I wanted to catch you up on. One is, I gather ticket sales are going well for the Memphis-Arkansas exhibition game, Hoops for St. Jude. They've sold more than 5,000 tickets at this point. They're ahead of where they were last year. But let's be honest, they need to be way ahead of where they were last year. This should be arousing for a lot of reasons. A, you want it for St. Jude to be a massive success. And B, you want this to turn into a regular season series between Memphis and Arkansas.
Absolutely.
And And for that to happen, you just sort of feel like everyone's got to be bathed in good feelings, right, Jeffrey? So
yes.
If you've been sitting on the fence, and again, we got lots of time before the game, but they're well over 5,000 tickets sold, but they need to sell a whole lot more. And so it'd be a great time to get in touch with Ticketmaster, head on down to the box office, and get your tickets for Hoops for St. Jude. We talked about the college slate, Jeffrey. I guess the most, I mean, it's pretty clear, the most interesting NFL game is Eagles-Chiefs. You're not in a must-win situation for the Chiefs because these seasons are so long. Like, think about the crisis, you know, that Sirianni went through last year, and they ended up being the best team in the league, right?
Right, they were 2-2 after four games.
Yeah, so, and yeah, should he be fired? Has he, you know, whatever, like all of that. So the season is so long now. I don't know. Like, the Packers look great, right? But injuries happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know? That's the thing. It's like, you know, sometimes we see teams that look great in September and they are great the whole year. But I don't know. I still feel like it's going to come down to, like, you and I are going to look at each other. It's like, who's the healthiest in September, or who's the healthiest in January, and whose quarterback's playing the best?
Speaking of which, you see Xavier Worthy practice this week for the Chiefs, heavily padded, but that was striking. I didn't know you could separate your shoulders.
I thought he was dead, the way everyone's talked.
I thought he was dead. I, of course, will be rooting for the Eagles in that one.
This could be the first time in Mahomes' pro career, I should say, that he could lose three consecutive games.
Oh, interesting. I mean, they won't even be on the ropes. You know, they will have lost two really tough games if they lose. They will have lost two really tough games. So I don't, you know, whatever. It obviously won't put them in a great position. But so then you're going to have, I mean, Monday night you'll have the Chargers and the Raiders.
Yep.
So one of those will take an L.
They could take a tie.
They could take a tie. But presumably one will go to 2-0. And if the Chiefs lose, they'll not only be two games behind, you know, hopefully two games on the Bills, and the Bills can take their Jets.
Ed Oliver, McDermott announced Ed Oliver's out.
Yeah. Ed Oliver was propped up. And again, he was easily the best defensive player. He was really the second best player on the field for the Bills Monday. And he showed up in a boot yesterday. People didn't really understand why. He was playing table tennis in a boot.
Mm.
But given that the Jets have a terrific offensive line, run the ball effectively, had great luck moving the ball against the Steelers, and now Ed Oliver's out, it's going to be a challenge. It is going to be a challenge for the Bills. But there's a bunch of intriguing games. The Pats, Dolphins is intriguing just because pure misery awaits whatever team loses that, right? You've got
San Francisco and New Orleans, Mac Jones, Spencer Rattler.
Yeah. I was thinking Broncos, Colts. You know, you got.
I think Jacksonville, Cincinnati is interesting.
I think Jacksonville, Cincinnati. Bears, Lions. How about
we
got, Bears, Lions?
We talked about that. That's a big time narrative.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Game.
So, all right. Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92 then?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Anthony Sain joins their program today, as will Parth Upadhyay. He will join them as well. DeMichael Cole going to be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Blake Topmeyer will join me during the first hour. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. We will be back Monday for an hour.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.